Put your arm, baby.
My cricket rose to the top.
Your cricket?
My cricket.
Oh, you did you check your score again?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Very higher than most people in my age group.
That's good.
Welcome to Leaguers to Go.
You never gave me a chance.
There's no warning.
I didn't know what we were going to say. Talking about credit scores.
I go, so is your bad cholesterol. But then...
Shorty.
Excuse me.
Bay.
Are we ready now? Is our guest ready?
I'm ready.
Welcome to Leaguers to Go, the podcast where we take a deep dive into lyrics that are questionable at best, but have largely dodged public ridicule till now. That is until now, I guess. And I'm Mark, and I'm here with Seth.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right,
man. Did you watch a little bit of that F1 race today?
I watched all of the F1 race
today. I bet you did. I bet that's why you said, we're going to do it at 3.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, approximately the time that it'll be over and giving him a time enough to get something to eat, maybe shower. I think
there you
probably
go. Shit, shower, shave, tax, tag, and title. The whole nine yards. That's correct.
And I'm imagining that you are happy with the result.
I am.
Yeah. You and your Verstappen.
I won't get too into it. I don't even know what percentage of our listenership cares about F1, but
I did
the guy
about the...
wanted to win won, and his team won.
Always does.
And then got in second place as well, both the drivers. So that's wonderful.
Oh, Red Bull runs second too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I learned about this new kid, Oliver Bierman, today. You had mentioned him on the way in here. I said, tell me something unusual, but I learned about him. What is it with F1 right now and getting baby face drivers? And by baby face, I mean, this kid looks like he is 9 years old.
The next generation, man.
They got to step up. How's everything else going? How's your week?
Everything is going well.
Good. It's good. Is it? Good.
Yeah, I mean, it's the weekend.
Okay.
And I picked up trivia at a new place.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Once a month, I'll be doing it at Mercola Markets.
Oh.
It's going to be a themed trivia. Mm-hmm. So I have some work to do getting stuff together.
Okay.
It's weird knowing I have to get new answer sheets together and questions, and it's a new place. So I got a little nerves going on.
A little rattly.
Yeah. And it's just a little bit more work for me, but,
this is not going to interfere with nice guys at all.
No. Yeah. No. Okay.
That's it.
Yeah,
so. Big one. Nice guy's the important.
But I'll tell you what how are you?
I'm good. I'm fine. Everything's good. I can't wait to get to what you're about to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, we really should invite our guest, who has been on before.
Into the conversation, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And
yeah.
Into the episode.
Yes.
J.R. Carmichael. How are you, Jamie?
J.R.
Hey now.
Perfect.
I'm good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course.
It's a big shocker. I got a text from Mark saying, we're going to have a guest, and I really did not know who it would be, because we've been without guest for such a long time. It has not happened, and I've wondered, when are we going to get another one? And I haven't really brought it up. I started looking at songs today, thinking we need to probably replenish the list.
Right.
But when it came in, we have a guest, I was like, gee, I wonder who it could be. Well, then I got up here a little bit early, and I opened the door. I was waiting inside, sitting there getting ready
ding
to turn
dong.
On. And ding dong, yo.
Twas me.
Ding dong.
Picture this, Jamie was buck naked standing at my house front door.
I definitely was not. That is not anything the neighbors want
to
see.
We have to picture it, Jamie. That's what he said.
No, please don't.
So that's picture fair. This.
Oof. Gotta help your stomach.
Jamie, you were on a previous episode.
I was, in fact.
Which one were you on for?
Jessica Simpson and romantic ballad. Where she cherishes every drop here on her knees.
That's right.
Yes.
It wasn't my favorite title ever for any romantic ballad. Sweet Kisses, was it?
Oh, you know, that might have been.
That is that's
no,
a, that is. I've actually never even heard the song. I don't want to hear the song. I just get such a kick
you
out.
You just
of,
want someone to give you sweet kisses.
The Jessica Simpson song.
Aforementioned sweet kisses.
Oh, boy.
That is repellent.
It is.
Yeah, so how's everything going with you?
Good. I can't stop thinking about the fact that you said something about getting the shocker when I arrived. That was weird.
Getting the shocker?
Didn't you say you opened the door and it was a big shocker because I was...
Well, I didn't know who it was.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
I didn't
that
know
kind
who...
of shocker.
Yes,
I'm
that
sorry.
Kind of...
Okay, I didn't know what you and Mark had going on before I got
here.
I'm
standing there with my pants off, Shocker.
Well, you know, you were saying I was butt naked.
Yeah, we did. We were supposed to picture this.
Picturing it.
Yeah.
Picture it. Picture
It was you, and I did not know who it was going to be. And I was thinking I was going to walk into a guest. I was thinking that a guest would walk in as we're recording. But no, I'm answering the door for you.
Thank you.
So that's when the shock took place.
I appreciate you answering the door because I really had to pee.
Answering the door. Yeah, we do that.
Whatever.
We call people out on their mispronunciations here. No,
we
won't.
We'll fix it in post.
That's in.
It's so funny because I used to listen to podcasts where people would like shit on people for saying the wrong thing or whatever. And having done a trivia podcast for a long time, at first I would always be like, hey, you said that wrong. Hey, that fact is wrong. But it's true. When you talk for an hour or multiple hours every time that you do a podcast, it is very easy to get something wrong or say something
Something's
wrong.
Something's going to wrong go.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it does often. Yeah, we played poker the other night. We, you know, we announced that we were going to do this song. I will, while we can talk about it now, we are going to be talking about the Shaggy hit single, It Wasn't Me, done with Rick Rock. Before there was TikTok, there was Rick Rock.
Indeed.
You've probably heard the song a million times, if you
probably had the misfortune.
Yeah, if you've lived anywhere in or around other people, you were forced to. And we were playing poker, and Jamie was here, and Jamie and I have often talked about reggae music.
Reggae.
Yeah, we'll try and keep the reggae patois down to a minimum. Unfortunately, while quoting Shaggy's parts, it'll be impossible.
Me know who you think you are, but me wagwan gwan do the whole episode like this.
Okay, there
we
go.
All right, that is some appropriation, and I feel
I'm going to be an editing machine.
Woof. All right, we're going to get phone calls.
That's it. I promise.
Emails, phone calls, telegrams.
Those exist?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So we have talked a lot about Barrington Levy in particular. Swing, even though he doesn't say swing. A song that you and I both knew for some reason. I don't know if we ever heard it together, but
well, we're both kind of connoisseurs of musical oddities.
Well, yeah, and I mean, my parents were both very into reggae. I remember my parents having Peter Tosh's Legalize It on cassette when I was young, and of course Bob Marley and
good
stuff.
Good reggae though.
Yeah. My parents liked like roots reggae. My parents really, I mean, not that they knew it was called roots reggae, but they were just into it and they loved it.
To be honest,
they smoked a lot of weed though.
Isn't reggae kind of like pizza? Even bad pizza is good. You
know
what I mean?
Reggae is not like that. There is lots of bad reggae.
But even it serves its purpose. Like it's,
I mean, in that it's reggae, yes.
Yes, and you get that vibe. And
I mean,
like,
I also don't think all pizza's good pizza. Okay. I'm not on that train.
You know,
there's some
every once
shit.
In a while, a tombstone from the freezer at the dollar store is hitting the spot. That's all I'm
some,
saying.
Some will hit different, but I've also had...
I've had bad pizza.
I've had some bad
pizza.
And
I've had bad reggae. Oof.
I've had pizza where I'm like, I can't finish this slice, and I'm fat.
There's cruise ship reggae that is just repairing.
Cruise ship reggae.
Oh, yeah, it's really bad.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some bad stuff out there, including Maximum Respect. Tim, if you're listening, and Joey, Gregory Isaac's Maximum Respect, one of the worst reggae albums of all time, and we listen to it all the time because it is so bad and so funny. Even though a lot of Gregory Isaacs is great, that was not a good time for him. So knowing that Jamie's one of the funniest people I know.
Gee, thanks, Mark.
And he also, I'm sure, will have some funny takes as far as this song is concerned. Seth, tell me what.
Did you have something before I showed up?
No.
No? You seem a little bit more reserved today.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm just feeling at peace because I had a nice shower.
Maybe it's the Verstappen afterglow.
Nice. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Tell me about
you seem regulated.
I feel a heavy burden.
Yeah.
I feel a heavy burden because I feel like I have so much. I feel like I've got some stuff with this song and music video.
Oh.
There's a lot of strangeness. I can feel my head pulsing with information.
Has it caused you much Sturmendrang?
It has not.
Oh.
Much Strom Thurmond?
Oh, okay, edit that one out, too.
Don't edit. We don't
Thurman
do that.
Strom.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That was weird. Okay, well, I'd like for you
rest in piss, Strom Thurmond.
I need you to expel that Thurmond.
Well, let's. I want to talk to you, please. And I want to find out what your history with this song is.
Last week I let you down in that you were like expecting some sort of
That's a ringtone, just so we're clear.
That's my ringtone on my phone.
Daddy Seth forgot to
shitty farting.
Now would be a good time to.
Now would be a.
If you, I don't know if you've got your phone on silence.
My phone is already turned off.
Perfect. This song, I let you down last week and that I didn't really say much. This song and this guy have been known to make me want to expel things from my body in violent ways and not good ways.
Yikes.
As in, I can't stand it. As in, I heard my association with Shaggy, I think maybe, God, 25 years ago, I was watching some, sitting there in my home late at night. And saw a video that he did for an old reggae song. Have you ever heard the song "Oh Carolina"?
So that's actually his first hit.
Yeah,
and I had never heard it before. I put it on the way here. Usually, I don't. I just focus on the song. You're the guy who does the background, listens to the other songs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I did listen to it. It was not very good.
No, it's a lame version of an old obscure reggae song. Or should I say, it's not really reggae. It's more like soca. Or Mento-ish kind of. It's just this island thing. And it's not, the original's not a very bad song. It's pretty good. It's pretty catchy. I didn't know what to think of his version at first. I spent a long time processing, and in all honesty, I forgot about it after a little while. It did kind of catch my ear. But then a couple years later, I heard him on the Howard Stern Show and took him as, early on, one of the most repellent damn people. One of the things that stood out to me in the episode is that Howard, of course, brought up that, you know, most of your songs have to do with sex and this is what you like. And obviously this is a hot topic for you. And he says yes. And they start getting into the nitty gritty of it. And he expressed the fact that he did not like kissing. And he seemed to like push that fact forward all the time. Like, wow. I don't like kissing. I don't like. And he's like, you know, come in with lingerie. I love that. And I was just thinking to myself, that's kind of sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, I mean, what if Jessica Simpson wanted to give him sweet kisses? Well, you know,
I'd take them.
I'd take them. Yeah, I mean, Jesus, I'm like, what
I'd
sort
say
of...
that's not so shaggy.
It's not. It's
I'm sorry.
That's so shaggy.
That's
zoinks, Roro Shaggy.
How do you think your wife would feel if you kissed Jessica Simpson? Do you think she would be understanding?
I would get in trouble.
Okay,
but I would have to ultimately say, listen. It's Jessica Simpson. I didn't do anything else. It wasn't me.
You'd be saying it was you.
It wasn't me anything else.
Right.
I didn't do anything else. I just kissed Jessica Simpson. She'd probably be mad at me for a little while, but then she would be like, I get it.
Okay.
I think that would happen.
Respect.
Yeah. It's just a kiss. So,
Jamie.
Yes, sir.
What about your history with this song? Do you have any?
Well, you know, other than hearing it on the radio ad nauseum for like the last 23 years, it's one of those that won't die, kind of like cockroaches and Twinkies. It has a very long shelf life.
It's nuclear.
It's one of those that I think if you put it on at a party, it brings all the millennials or pre-millennials, maybe whatever you want to call them, to the dance floor.
Xers,
Nexters, Gen... I don't know. I hate those titles.
Okay.
But I do think it's one of those songs
you
that
used
like...
one.
I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're trying to identify an age group.
It's like one of those like siren calls, if you will, good, bad, or ugly, that they put it on and it brings you to the dance floor.
I have DJed parties on occasion, not in the last couple years, but my go-to always was Country Grammar by Nelly.
Oh,
will get people to dance, man.
Also, getting hot in her.
That works too.
There's something about that time period of music where
down baby.
It just, you know, people are like, it's kind of like carefree and not so dark and a little happier. Pretty much, I guess. I don't know.
The rock and roll was not.
No, it was a little.
It was dark.
Grungy,
that era was a little dark when it came to rock and roll. When it came to the hip hop, there was no better for parties, man. It's some of the best party music ever made.
Indeed.
I agree on that. Yeah, and I don't think that this was necessarily a great party song. It's something that you could put on the background and everybody's going to recognize, which is important at parties. I never saw it as one that's going to drive everybody out to the dance floor, though. That's just, I mean, what I saw. But
well,
I did
think it's,
hear it.
It's definitely one of those that you're going to sing along with. I think you nailed that. Like, yeah. You know, until Shaggy starts his verse, then everybody's going to be like, they're like, it wasn't me.
He's like Mushmouth from Fat Albert. Did you ever see that show?
Mushmouth. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll very briefly, my history with the song is I heard it and I hated it.
Oh, no.
I mean, well, you know, I just didn't like what the song was about. It's catchy, but I cannot stand that. That happens over and over again.
It sucks.
That matches along with a, it wasn't me. It's like the same note and the same rhythm, and it really bothers me. Like when stuff like that happens over and over again in a song, like you dropped a bomb on me, how it keeps doing that
yes,
over and
yes,
over again.
Yes.
That shit drives me up a goddamn wall. And so that over and over again really fucking really annoys me.
Well found wall to be driven up.
Yeah. And the fact that it's also going over that it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. Is a burn it up while he says that every once in a while. It's like, we fucking get it.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
We got point it. Understood. Taken. Yes, thank you. So this you know, you talking about his voice. The other thing is I can't stand his voice.
Yep.
Have you ever burped and got that bubble in your throat?
Yes.
Where you like burp and people, and then you try to say something and people are like, what's wrong with your voice?
Right.
And you're like, I did a half burp.
Yes.
You know, it's like I got a burp bubble.
It's like
that's
an inward
what his
burp
voice sounds
almost
like. Now, this is interesting. I got a clip from Arden, listener Arden, mm-hmm. who was scrolling through TikTok and they happened to get this clip. This is D-Real Shaggy talking about his voice and how it came to be.
Yeah, one time, Mr. Lover, yeah. But I got this voice by mocking drill instructors in the military. Because in the Marines, the drill instructors would go, hey, boy, drop and give me 20. Let's go, boy. And I would mock him as a form of joking because it motivated, you know, your platoon. I just sang that song in that voice because, you know, that's, it sounded cool. And all of a sudden, O Carolina blew up, and now I'm faced with a situation that I'm going to have to sing every song like that. If you listen to songs like Big Up or Mompy, those songs are sung in a different voice than O Carolina. Gal, if you fall down, you're about expense. It's a different tone. It is not the same tone as I would on, you know, O Carolina.
So
that is interesting.
It does not sound cool.
No. Well, it doesn't sound cool in the song.
It's almost as if there was a reggae Muppet. You know, that's
absolutely
like is how
it's
I
like
would
how
they,
on.
It's like how you they know. Now have the first homeless Muppet, even though Oscar has been living in a fucking
trash can
forever.
Represent.
But now they have the first homeless Muppet. It's like they had the first Kingston Muppet.
There you go.
And it sounds like Shaggy.
That's hilarious.
Have you ever been to like Paris Island or anything like that?
I've been to Jamaica, but I went to, I stayed in a resort.
Okay.
Now, I mean, there were people there. Of course, they bring people from outside of the resort.
Right.
In
wait, Seth, are you talking about the military?
I am talking about Paris Island, South Carolina, the Marine Corps. Marine
okay, that's
Corps.
What I thought. Oh, I was like, that's Marine a totally Corps. Different vibe than Jamaica.
Yeah. A completely yeah. different vibe.
I definitely don't want to stay at Club Med there. Let
no,
me tell you.
No. No, it is.
Absolutely
it is,
not.
It's, for one, it's stunningly gorgeous. And two, it's stunningly fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
It is absolutely one of the, and you will hear what he's talking about. I've been to two of my brother's graduations from Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Paris Island, South Carolina, where you will hear all throughout the place, man. And they do that. They affect a voice.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
They absolutely do.
Seth, you just sounded like the old guy who lived upstairs from the Fraggles.
Everything goes back to Muppets.
Sprocket.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you know, I've always heard like that voice.
Yeah.
But I've never heard the voice that he, I mean, I'm not saying that he's wrong because it was his experience.
Right.
So, but it's weird because when I think of like boot camp voice, I think of that.
Right.
You know, I don't think of.
It's
But what's weird is now that I heard him explain it, you put that with the patois at the same time, and it totally makes sense.
Like Jamaican Muppet.
It's like, yeah, it's like a Jamaican Muppet. Like, it's weird.
Totally. Jamaican me Muppet.
You know, I had heard in an interview with him somewhere that he was in the military and he started doing music when he was a Marine, like to like for morale purposes. Like they would sit around and like sing and whatever else. But I didn't know he actually drew his inspiration from, you know,
I guess he was in and
Full
this
Metal
is where
Jacket or whatever.
We're
going to
get into Shaggy here. We're going to get into the guy. Orville Richard Burrell, born October 22nd, 1968, squirted out into Kingston, Jamaica, and then eventually made his way to the United States, where he was involved, or he became a member of, in 1988, the United States Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. Had the MOS of 08-11, Field Artillery Cannon Crewman, and served in a field artillery battery with the 10th Marine Regiment during the Persian Gulf War. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he was in Kuwait and stuff, I read.
That's crazy.
He was reduced in rank twice, which I think is very
boy.
Funny.
It wasn't him.
It wasn't him.
He perfected his signature toasting voice while he was in the Marine Corps, it says. Then he came back, pursued a music career, got a hit in 1993 with O Carolina, and it was all, I guess, uphill from there.
Mm. Well, actually, what's funny, I was doing a little research because I want to come prepared because I figure you guys are the consummate music specialists. I didn't want to come, you know, to a gunfight unarmed.
Sure.
But he actually had just, before he recorded the song, he had been dropped by his record label.
Mm.
And he got picked up by a new label, and he was supposed to be working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis,
who famously, yes.
very, very famous producers,
yes.
basically made Janet Jackson,
exactly.
Many others in that era, mm-hmm. and they were forking out a lot of money for Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and he was recording with them. And this song he actually recorded in his like own home studio in Jamaica.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, just really? Chilling okay. with his friend, who was another producer, this Rick Rock guy. And they were just, like, I read that basically they were just screwing around one day, eating, literally, this is their words, eating beef patties, getting drunk, record a line or two, write a line or two, eat some more beef patties.
Sounds like it.
I mean, that's a hell of a day, if you ask me.
This song has beef patty all over it.
Oh, I love a beef patty.
I do, too.
Mm.
Yeah, shooting out this song while you're hanging out with a friend of yours, sure.
So... and then they never actually thought that this was a viable track at all.
Same.
They should have stuck with that.
Well, no, what's funny is that like they were banking on this Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis thing, the record company, everybody. That song coincidentally totally tanked. And it was a DJ on a radio station in Hawaii who got the album illegally early on like a Napster-esque service, mm-hmm. right?
Like
downloaded it.
Oh, yeah.
Heard this song and was like...
This is the hit.
This is it, man. Everything else is trash. This
and
is
then
the one.
The phones lit up and they kept playing it.
So it was like he basically was kind of down and out. Like he thought, oh, there was my chance. It was over. Mm-hmm. And then this song literally became a number one.
Yeah.
This album, Bombastic, did have another very unfortunate hit on it, a song called Angel, which is a just a lift of Chip Taylor's Angel of the Morning, interspersed with, done by Juice Newton.
Oh, Juice Newton.
And then, but it has a clip, a loop of Steve Miller from the Steve Miller's The Joker that runs the entire way through it that I fucking can't stand. I absolutely hate that song worse than this.
Just want to correct you. This album's Hot Shot.
Oh, it's not Bombastic. Oh, I'm sorry.
Shaggy's fifth album. Yes, and also had Love Me, Love Me on it. It was the second best-selling album of 2001 in the United States behind Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory.
Right, yeah.
Easier, simpler times back then when Hot Shot and Linkin Park ruled the airwaves. he has twice won Best Reggae Album. With Bombastic in 1996.
Mr. Lava Lava.
Sorry, yeah.
And 44876 with Sting in 2019. He also won the Brit Award for International Male Solo Artist in 2002. I will briefly mention that friend of the podcast, Kristen, turned me on to a cover of Sting and Shaggy doing a Christmas album. I don't know if they did the whole Christmas album together, actually. But they did Silent Night.
Wow.
And I would love to play a little clip of it here for you if I can find it.
Do we have to?
Just a little clip.
It's Sting.
Let's get this tropical Christmas boy and Sting on.
Oh boy.
God.
Now I'm going to fast forward it a little bit.
Oh. Yes, that is not so silent of a night.
Chitty bang, 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 bang.
Oh my God.
It's like the real version of
one of the most
of Ross Trev.
Oh.
Skiddly whoa.
Yeah.
One of the most Christmas peaceful, somber Christmas songs. And then bada bong 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 bong.
Yeah, oh, just
that's something else.
Some bong bong triplets.
Wow. Oh well, he thought you know, P. Diddy backed up the Brinks truck with that other thing that he did with that with
backed up the beep beep
he
beep.
Did. Well, I mean, he did, truck. Didn't I mean? Gordon
True.
Shumway told us that he made like $1 million a minute from that damn song when it came out.
Gordon Shumway, that's Alf.
I'm sorry, Gordon. Gordon Sumner. Gordon Sumner. Right. Gordon,
I'm sorry.
We called him Gordon Shumway throughout the episode.
Oh my sweet when we Lord. Did, I'm
yes,
sorry.
But Gordon Sumner when he had
someone
him
someone didn't listen to Police Parole.
No, someone did not.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
I'm a few behind that one.
But yeah, he figured he might make a couple of bucks by bringing in Gordon. You know,
Gordon.
I mean, obviously it didn't work. I mean, I didn't hear that up until this moment.
Well, I mean, we know that the police were very early adopters of reggae and ska music.
Mm. Well, didn't he and Sting do a whole album, like you said? Didn't they win a Grammy
yes,
for their
yes,
album
yes,
they
yes.
did together?
But I'm talking about, like, I mean, before that,
yeah,
I think this
very
was...
very tinged in Caribbean.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Who cares?
We
this,
digress.
This has been regarded as Shaggy's breakthrough in the pop market.
It's called jerk music.
It's his highest charting song to date, topping the charts in Australia, Flanders. France,
thanks,
Ireland,
Conrad.
The Netherlands, Poland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Mm. Best-selling single of 2001 in the UK,
no.
selling over 1.15 million copies that year,
no.
and over 1.42 million as of 2017. Mm-hmm. The song was inspired by a bit called No Loyal Men, performed by Eddie Murphy in his comedy special Raw. Released in 1987. In an interview in 2016, Shaggy acknowledged an interpolation of the war song Smile Happy. The connection is further supported by Liam Payne's debut single 2017, Strip That Down itself, based on It Wasn't Me, which credited both Shaggy as Orville Burrell and members of War as co-writers. So, yeah.
Oh, funny about the war sample thing. When he was clearing stuff through the record company for the song, he didn't tell them about the sample because they literally, like I said, didn't think anybody was ever going to hear that particular
right.
song.
Yeah.
So they got
Oops.
Sued quite heavily after the fact.
Yeah. And I mean, that's happened to a couple people.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to talk about anything else? Or are we pretty good here to get
this
into the
song
lyrics?
Inspired a certain certain type of legal defense.
Oh yes,
coined by a guy named Josh Levin, the Shaggy defense,
mm-hmm.
specifically, initially, I should say, to describe R. Kelly's defense at his 2008 child
That's...
pornography trial.
Ugh.
That's great. So Shaggy's got that feather in his cap to hang everything on. Exactly.
That poor bastard.
Well, I mean, he could have
fucking saddled him together with R. Kelly. Nobody wants to be saddled with
guy
R. Kelly.
Guy predicted that it would be used decades to come, and apparently, that's the case.
Oh, yeah, they've
R.
used
Kelly
it
ultimately
for...
ultimately found not guilty on those charges, but definitely found guilty on other charges later on, stemming from, like, sex trafficking and entrapment and things like that. Or not entrapment. I want to be specific about what he... I think it was confinement Oof. Is what they called it with him. But
something
still all
terrible.
Bad. Something yeah. something not good.
R. Kelly, giant piece of shit.
Yeah, definitely. In jail, needs to be there. That's my Robert. Yeah. it's just...
The Shaggy defense.
Just the Shaggy defense. So if you use the Shaggy defense, you're probably just as much as a piece of shit as the person actually
who
you're defending.
Now they just call it gaslighting.
Well, I was going to say, I mean,
this
song should be called Gaslighting.
It is the ultimate gaslighting song.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to come up when we're talking about the lyrics. I'm glad it came up now.
Itching to know what the creep factor is going to be for this one. Because that gaslighting part, I mean...
Well, what's funny,
it's
too, is...
it's going to be a combination shithead and creep factor.
Yeah.
At the end of it,
how they credited Eddie Murphy's Raw for this. If like if you watch the part of Eddie Murphy's Raw that this is in,
yeah.
Any Eddie Murphy fans,
yeah.
It's not very long. Like, this is literally
it's seconds
like
long, you're right.
Two or three lines, and then he goes on, Eddie Murphy goes on to talk about, like, you can basically lie to a woman as much as you want once you give her an orgasm.
Right.
Right? Like,
yes.
And that's the part that takes over of the whole bit, which is... You know
Raw.
Oh yeah, I know Raw. I even wondered if that's why he's wearing the shiny purple suit. You know,
In
the music video,
we'll talk about.
Hold
that.
On. Yeah. Well, let me just say, he doesn't give credit. He just says it was inspired.
Well,
by.
Yeah.
And then someone else gave credit to Shaggy, and War. So he, you know, he just basically that little bit is what made Shaggy and Rick Rock. Be like, oh, this would be a funny song to do. So it's not like, you know, it's not like Eddie Murphy's getting money from this or anything.
No, but they totally lifted the line of like,
oh yeah,
it wasn't me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Covering for any infidelity you could possibly imagine.
I also cannot wait to start talking about the music video. I've got a bomb to drop on you guys. I think when we get in here,
we have a guest.
No, we already have a guest, I have another bomb.
First bomb.
Another bomb.
Yeah, not
this
and
is like
not
Oppenheimer.
The song. So let's go ahead and get into the lyrics.
Please.
So we get the little intro and we get a little conversation between Rick Rock and Shaggy. Rick Rock, obviously distressed. Yo, man. Yo. Open up, man. Yo, what you want, man? My girl just caught me. You made her catch you? I don't know how I let this happen. With who? With the girl next door, you know? Man, I don't know what to do. Say it wasn't you. All right. Didn't take much convincing, did it?
Look.
These spoken word intros have just got... Thank God that we don't hear them very much anymore.
Yeah.
They shit the bed. They are the worst. They are the absolute worst. Especially these... When ultimately, that whole interaction right there contributes shit to the song.
Oh,
zero
Seth,
to the song.
Please. This tale needed exposition.
You think it did?
Oh, my, yes.
Wrong, Jamie, wrong.
What? I mean, appreciated for the literary genius that it is.
You made her catch you?
You made her catch you.
What weird fucking way to put that.
It adds to the lyrics to go content. I won't lie about that.
Give us something to talk
about.
But
you're right, Mark. I mean, you made her catch you. There's your first. It's going to be a gaslight factor at the damn of this.
And he says, I don't know how I let this happen. But we find out very soon he does know how he let this happen.
Yeah, it's like the first.
We find out fucking
he let it happen
very
in several
soon.
Locations. In fact.
Yeah, I mean, but like you know, well, we'll just jump into the lyrics.
We will point out that this first verse is sung.
Or we won't.
By Rick Rock.
Yes.
Himself.
Yeah. So
not
if,
Rick
you,
Ross,
if you don't know the song,
Rick Rock.
Not TikTok. Rick Rock does the verses. Shaggy does the choruses.
Also, not the Kraft product. Rick Rack.
Or actually, I'm sorry. This refers to Rick Rock's version as the chorus.
Yes. I would say that's
and
right.
I disagree.
You don't think so?
No.
I think Shaggy's doing the
generally
verses.
Speaking, you know what? I guess maybe.
Rick's
I guess
part
you're
repeats
right.
as Shaggy's is different, wouldn't that?
Yeah. You're right,
chorus.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Who cares?
I mean, who cares?
So we get Rick Rock.
Music theory. What the
JR did his homework.
Are we ready? Can
I
we
am?
Do some lyrics now?
Well, we
do
already
the
did
lyrics.
Some, but let's do
what
more.
What was
Mark?
I thinking having you on this episode?
Pour these lyrics on me.
With me.
Three of the biggest
Sorry.
Talkers in
yeah,
Lee
Yeah, we're
County.
A little verbose.
Honey came in and she caught me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door.
Mm.
Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me.
How could you forget that you give someone an extra key to your house? How could you fucking forget that? That's the dumbest line ever.
I don't know how I let this happen.
I immediately.
You gave her
a key.
Yeah, you gave her a key.
That's
well,
how.
And a story.
And you're in a committed relationship where she has access to your home,
right.
So...
Yeah, I mean, you're in a committed relationship, period.
Done. End of story.
And then you also gave her a key.
Yeah.
I'm guessing because you're supposed to love and trust each other.
And you want her to be there.
It's part of the human dynamic.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this goes back to the... You made her catch you. Maybe it's like Freudian. Maybe
Could be.
Him wanted to be made caught.
Maybe.
Maybe it's deep down in you to be a caught jerk.
At least he's still calling her honey.
Honey.
Is that good?
It's very sweet.
Is it good that she gets that consolation in her life? I'm still his
baby.
Honey.
Baby, baby, my,
yeah,
honey. Baby.
I will say also throughout
you're still
the song,
my angel of the morning,
my angel, she's my darling angel. I will also say that throughout this song, I think there's a lot of confusion. He uses the word "she" a lot, where you can't tell if he's talking about the she that's over the girl next door, or she the girlfriend. Mm. I mean, we'll get to that because I think sometimes it gets a little. Anybody with a vagina in this song is just called she, and that's that.
Or honey.
Also, to use the word creeping with the girl next door.
I always thought that was suddenly acceptable because of TLC. T-Boz, Chili, and Lisa Lopez.
You're right.
Suddenly it's somewhat acceptable after
well,
they
I mean,
sing about it.
When I think of creeping, I think of like being a creep. But, I mean, there were three, you know, it is well known. It's well documented.
Yeah.
There are three famous creeps in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There's TLC, So I Creep.
Yes. Radiohead.
There's Radiohead, I'm a Creep. Mm. And then, of course, there is Stone Pilots.
Oh, that's right.
Creep.
I forgot about that one. Yes.
So, I mean,
all
I guess it depends
songs
on which
that
kind of,
I like.
They're all great songs.
Yeah, yeah.
They really are. So, yeah, I guess he's creeping, like, on the down low.
Yes, he's on the down low with this side piece.
Picture this.
Why is he telling Shaggy to picture it?
Picture it.
Picture me butt naked. Can you chill for a minute?
Picture this.
You're telling your homie to think about you mid-stroke.
Like, you can just tell me we were having sex. You don't need to be like, picture it, Sicily.
Sicily.
1925.
Giving it the full Sophia treatment.
Picture this. Bacteria-covered bathroom floor has not been cleaned in ages.
Yeah.
My ass flying up and down while her parts come in danger of possibly being infected by more than my rotten penis.
And I mean, the bathroom floor.
Oof.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Come
man.
On.
Gross.
Like, yeah, this is an unsavory place.
A little puddle of piss.
Let's take a time out here. Because there are people that have this bathroom kink that I know.
Oh, boy.
I mean, maybe.
And I don't want to necessarily come
I need
out
to know
and say
off,
that they're
I need
bad
to
people.
Know off record who this is.
Don't kink shame. No kink shaming.
I'm saying that hey, I don't do that. That's not a thing that I'm into. But, I mean, I can't. It's gross to me, but.
Here's the thing. There are too many sharp edges in the bathroom. Somebody could. Oh.
There are no rounded.
I just got a flashback to that movie. Is it Very Bad Things where they're.
Rounded four micro.
Oh my
corners.
God! They're at a bachelor party and he's using the services of a lady of the evening, and they're
I don't know this.
Mid-coitus, and he is lifting her up to perform said act, and backs into a towel rack, which
there are.
Severs the spinal cord and kills her instantly.
Oh my God!
Oh oops!
Yeah, it took a dark turn. Sorry guys.
That's
sorry.
Horrible.
Very bad things indeed.
But I mean,
so
your
that's
point
what I'm
is
just saying.
Taken. There are a lot of dangerous fixtures in
there
a bathroom.
There are many of the major horrible accidents in the home happened in one of two places: either kitchen or bathroom.
And how much piss?
And he was banging in both. Am I correct?
I mean, yeah.
He had a death wish.
I mean, I can only imagine that bang on the bathroom floor is probably because they were showering, or one of them was showering.
We can hope, I guess.
I mean, otherwise, like, she goes in there to piss, and he walks in there, he's like, hey, I'm a piss freak.
This is my thing.
And now it's time to bang.
I'm open wide.
And he just, like, slides her off the toilet onto the ground and starts going to town. But, I mean, if it is a post-shower thing, then we've got a lot of slipping and sliding going on. I'm guessing that we're dealing
cool.
with tile.
It
or,
is just rife for concussion in there.
Or linoleum or something. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? You know, to Jamie's point, maybe you didn't forget. Maybe you wanted to be caught.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a subconscious thing where you knew what you were up to. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that here later on. Mm-hmm. All this time. And then the last line, all this time she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me, which the only way he would know that is by seeing her
looking up
and just and continuing to fuck this woman. I guess until completion. And I think we get a little bit more information about that, but it's very weird that he just like offers the information that she just like kept watching him as if she was watching some kind of porno.
You would think with that line that he's insinuating, maybe she's into it, but the rest of the song gives none of that away. Doesn't tell you that at all. So just spoiler alert there. No, she's supposed to be upset throughout the whole thing. Why would she stand there? What girl, I'm in a relationship with this guy, is going to stand there and watch and be like, well, I need to make sure that this is really actually happening the entire time through and that he brings it to completion for the both of them in order for an actual cheating to take place.
I would think there would be some violence involved. There would be.
The soap holder and throw it at his head. Yeah,
there'd be a myriad of things that could be used as a projectile in that instance.
Right, right.
But yeah, exactly. Right. Is she just standing there like, toothbrush, well, when you guys are done, let's talk about this.
Bar
like,
of soap.
That's a very forgiving young lady.
Yeah,
yeah. Then we get the first verse. Now, guys, I'm gonna try my best here.
I'm so excited to hear you say this.
I'm gonna try my best. I cannot do it super fast. I might have to re-record some stuff. So bear with me here. I'm going to try and do it kind of quick where I'm still being easy to understand or relatively easy to understand. Because Lord knows our man Shaggy with the throat thing is not terrible.
You're going to do it in the Marine Corps cadence, Mark?
No.
Manamana. So, can I make a request? I think you should read his verses like the old sketch from In Living Color where they would do like poetry readings of rap lyrics.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, God, that would make me so excited. Like, just thinking on the way over here about how you would do that would set me right over the edge.
Well, I'm definitely not doing it. So after Rick Rock tells Shaggy this situation, Shaggy gives us the first verse. How you fee give the woman access to your villa, trespasser and a witness, all the hacklin a yapilla. You better watch your back before she turn into a killer. Best review the situation that you caught up in a. To be a true player, you have to know how fee play. If she say a night, convince her say a day. Never admit to a word way she say. And if she claim a you tell her, baby, no way.
Yikes. The most disturbing line in that whole part, I'm sure you're going to say, is the telling her if it's nighttime, tell her it's day.
That's exactly
but
what
it is. But I'm disturbed why he referred to his home as a villa. We're from the streets of Kingston, Jamaica. And then Flatbush.
Right.
And we're referring to our domicile.
Me going to me Kingston town home.
Me going to me villa.
Yeah.
Where I will wear a 100,
know
you know.
I'm please sorry, I'll stop.
Please. Please do not cancel us, I swear to you.
Yikes.
Seth knows not what he does. He comes from a different time.
I'm okay. I'm all right. It's not like I'm trying to sit here and affect the whole episode. It's all right.
Yeah, so...
Besides, my wife's Jamaican.
Well, that's fine.
Jesus
You're not,
Christ.
Though.
No, I'm not.
So, I mean, immediately, Shaggy's giving him a hard time saying, why did you give your girlfriend a way to get into your house?
Ugh, dumbass. Which, like, basically, right?
Like, butthead?
Yeah. Dumbass.
Which, I mean, like, he's immediately blaming Rick Rock for, like, trusting a woman, which is a very strange take. To be like, how in the fuck are you doing that? How in the fuck are you trusting a woman? And you, I mean, I guess he has a point if Rick Rock knows that he's a philanderer.
He's gonna play, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Trespasser and a witness... All the hacklin' a yapilla. Which I'm not.
Why
I'll
is
be
there
honest
no,
with you.
I think why
he
is there
means
no
like
genius
pillow?
Notes on that?
I think it.
Yeah, I wish.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't know.
I think the heckler and the pillow. Maybe that she's screaming into the pillow.
If she's got a key, she's not a trespasser.
Well, I was going to say. I think this is supposed to be one way or another. It's supposed to be disparaging of the girlfriend, calling her a trespasser and a witness. Well, yeah. I mean. She's not trespassing, nope. as Seth mentioned. Mm-hmm. She has a key. And she's a witness only because you were doing something stupid. If she came in and you were doing a crossword puzzle, there would be no witness.
Right.
I mean, you'd be the witness to a boring Saturday afternoon, maybe.
What all of a sudden got a lot of my attention is the all hackling of your pillow. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm probably wrong. But is the hackling of the pillow like she's going to cough cooties into the pillow to try and infect him?
I don't think
with
so.
Something? That's what it kind of sounds
rubbing
like.
Her butt on there still in hopes that he gets
pink
red.
Eye, pink yeah, eye. Pink
eye. I farted into your pillow
I think
night.
That was more the other she, perhaps, and the noises she was making into the pillow?
It could very well be. I wish I had a little bit more of a...
Honestly, maybe he just needed another word to end in a. Because he's certainly on a string of them.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely on one. And then you better watch your back before she turn into a killer. Oof. Best review the situation that you caught up in. Well, I mean, and he mentions in the next verse about her having a gun. Again, it seems like he's like immediately making Rick Rock be like, she's going to kill you. I mean, maybe there's something about this woman we don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she has a history. But I mean, way to like immediately turn the tables in like you should be afraid of the woman. Well, I mean, first of all, it was dumb to do what you did, but like, why are you all of a sudden making the woman sound like the bad person here?
Well, I mean, the intensity could be ratcheted up in the instance. It could happen.
I suppose,
domestically, people get upset and in fits of passion, wind up killing other people. It doesn't mean you should fucking bring it up. And also, I'd like to point out that he cheated. He didn't kill somebody. He doesn't deserve death.
Oh, no. But I mean, it's very strange to me that that Shaggy is like, she might kill you.
Yes.
It's like, really?
Did you have to bring that up?
I mean, does she have like a history of... Because the woman in the music video doesn't seem like she's going to kill someone necessarily.
No, she doesn't look that pissed off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, she seems kind of confounded. Yeah. Best review the situation that you caught up in. Yeah, that's good advice.
That's good advice, yeah. So.
Which is what he's doing.
Yes. Maybe some hindsight.
To be a true player, you have to know how to play.
Here's where the asshole really comes out. This is the first line of assholeship.
Well, yeah, remember, this is the age of how to be a player. And
that age is still going
and
on.
Also Booty Call and things, the movies where it was like, you know, a laundry list of this is how to be a philandering, adulterous, you know, womanizing piece of shit.
Right.
Was very much on the zeitgeist of society at that point.
Well, and I mean, without reading any further, if you were to say to be a player, you have to know how to play. What advice do you think that person is giving?
Bad. I know what you're saying. Bad in that he is trying to give you manipulative advice to keep the upper hand in a situation, regardless of the morals of right and wrong. And yes, I am looking like I'm.
He looks like he's either shaking dice or jerking off.
Yeah. One or the other.
He's
I'm going to figure
Yahtzee
it out by the end of this episode.
He's about to play
shuffle.
CeeLo. Well, I guess kind of my point here was. And Jane, I don't know if you want to chime in here, but when I think of to be a true player, you have to know how to play means like, you know, I don't know how to do this shit because I don't do it, but like make sure that you, you know, like take up racquetball so you have an excuse to be gone and come back sweaty.
Yeah, make sure you have an alibi. Step two.
Yeah, exactly. Always make sure you bring deodorant with you so you, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That's what I think of when I think of
by
like
glitter remover.
To be a player, you have to know how to play.
Right.
Is like you've got to know all these little tricks. Don't give her an extra key, whatever.
Right.
Get cameras around the house.
Or don't get cameras because. Or have I jumped the gun here?
Well, I mean, the music video, which seemingly kind of has nothing to do with the song in a lot of ways. She is using it. But his take here is, to be a true player, you have to know how to play. You need to tell her that she is not only wrong, but is, like, backwards. Like, you need to completely gaslight her. That's his advice.
That's the message.
Yeah, I mean, not like just be sneaky. It's not like ways to be sneaky here. It's like tell her she's deranged.
Manipulate her mind.
Yes.
That's the message of this chorus.
Well, what's funny, if you go back, and again, not to give Eddie Murphy too much undue credit, but if you go back and you watch that segment of Raw, that's literally what he's talking about. Post that two lines of "It Wasn't Me" that they lifted. Like, he literally says... You can convince her of anything.
Right.
And that's what you should do. Mm. Like, you should flip the script and be like, wait, I was fucking her, but I make love to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to ruin our love because of a fuck?
Right.
Like,
well,
flip
the
script.
Yeah, but that even seems like a softer stance than... I was not fucking her.
Yeah, you were looking at me doing it.
You were looking
it,
at me doing it,
happening.
But it's not what's happening. You were
you
losing your mind.
Alternate reality.
This is trying to. This is like trying to Baker Act someone.
So I have an interesting take on this, but I'm not going to bring it up now. I'm going to wait a few minutes till we get another chorus in.
God, I have a feeling this is going to culminate with some weird shit.
Because there are some things that I've read and whatever that... but I'll tell you in a minute. Okay. Let's keep
Reddit,
going.
It's got to be true. It's Listen,
right,
Mark.
That's right. It was on the internet. Say, it's gospel.
I have to say that we've gotten to the part. We know the song is It Wasn't Me. That's the name of the song. And this is the point of the show where I need to tell you that I have heard from stone cold criminals, just bad people that I've been around, that have said these exact words to me. Oh, you were caught? Deny it. Doesn't matter if 8,000 people saw you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do it.
Right.
Just hang on.
Hell, it works for former presidents.
No matter what happens. You make a damn good point.
Oops, who said that?
No matter what happens, deny, deny, deny everything that happened, and they had it on all of the instances that they're talking about. Keep denying it, which is one of the biggest ass. I'll tell you who it was later. One of the biggest asshole things that you can, in my opinion, do because of my experiences with that person.
For sure.
Yeah.
Never admit to a word where she say, and if she claim a ya, tell her baby no way. So, I mean, just more. I mean, now we're fully on the gaslight dream.
Yeah. Yep, it's like full steam ahead with the bullshit.
And to prove it, we get the pre-chorus.
We get to tag team this shit between Rick and Shag.
But she caught me on the counter.
It wasn't me.
She saw me banging on the sofa.
It wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
It wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera.
It wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
It wasn't me.
Mark heard with a C or Mark with a K?
That I told her.
Sorry.
It wasn't me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
It wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over.
Why? Which, she stayed? Wait, there it is, the end of that fucking chorus.
That's the she... Which she? The she of the she-she's. Was the she or the she, the other she, the she?
We're not that kind of show, so, Junior.
Let's go through this line by line and figure out which she we're talking about. She caught me on the shower, or she caught me on the counter.
Okay, she that's did the catching. The that's girlfriend. The girlfriend.
That's the gaslit.
Saw me banging on the sofa. Mm-hmm. That's the girlfriend. I even had her in the shower.
So that's the other she, the other, mistress.
That is the mistress. Other
she. She too.
She even caught me on camera.
The back
could kind of be Ethan.
Back to girlfriend.
I think it's number one. I think we're talking to girlfriend.
Yeah.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
Still girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Heard the words that I told her.
That girlfriend might be number girlfriend? Two. That
it
might
could be either
be,
one because, you know, he might have lied to the girl next door and said, I don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah. I mean, I think the her, it, the, my girlfriend heard the words that I told the mistress.
We're talking about both.
Heard, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there is a understood. She
heard the she sweet heard nothings the I was whispering.
She heard the words that I told the mistress.
Right, in the Jezebel's ear.
And then the girlfriend...
Hey, you don't know that she was a Jezebel.
You're
then
right,
the girlfriend.
He might have lied to her as well.
You're right.
The girlfriend heard the screams getting louder.
That's number one.
From the girlfriend. She stayed until it was over.
Now that here's one's... the thing. If you're copulating, as it were, I would hope she's... stayed until it was over.
Well, why'd she let them finish?
The girlfriend, why is she letting them? Why is she just going to stand there and watch as it goes all the way through? Is she a glutton for punishment?
Well, I mean, she saw the marks on my shoulder. If she's seeing them while they're fucking, the marks on the shoulder, why even put that in there?
Yeah, why
that's
after
like
past the
fact? Tense,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, it wasn't, I didn't do that while you were sitting there with a camera watching me. And it's like, oh, but these marks on my shoulder,
that sold it.
That's the linchpin. Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no reason to even mention the marks on the shoulder.
No, there's not.
On the counter, in the sofa, on the shower, on the bathroom floor.
Oof.
I guess those are the big places that we're talking about.
You know who the real victim of this song is?
The
His cleaning lady.
Yeah.
that's why I feel bad for, ladies and gentlemen.
Lady who has to clean this room.
Oh, my God. Stains everywhere.
Yeah. That sofa.
Oof.
This is why
if
your grandparents have plastic covering. On their
oh, my God. My granny and granddaddy were freaks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Your grandma was a squirter.
Oh, God. Okay. Mark. All right.
Wasn't that a song on 69 Love Songs? Grandma was a squirter.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she even caught me on camera. I mean, she's got you dead to rights.
It was on holiday.
I mean, you know, and we'll I guess, you know.
Yeah.
We're all kind of going through this just to wait to get to the end.
I still can't understand why she stayed until it was over. Does he have her that gaslit? And does he have her that convinced that it wasn't him, that she can stand there watching it happen and going, this isn't him? Like a zombie? You know, like, this is not him. This is not the person that I got the key from, that I put all my trust and faith in. This is not him.
Well, and, you know, he says that she was there in person. I mean, have an extra key means she came there.
Correct.
Which means she came there and watched in person them go from one place to another. Like, she's like the little kid in The Sixth Sense.
Oh, my God.
Just moving from room to room.
Well, you just blew my mind.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so wait, do you think these are multiple occurrences that, like...
No, I think, or do you think she one... I think she's like, one thing.
Let me follow... It's like a... Like they were on tour and she was a groupie. Yes. She just like followed
it was
fish
like a
from
tour.
City to city, you know?
Fucking hey, man, from what room to room.
What the hell?
I'll bleep the name out.
That's okay.
But yeah, so yeah, they are literally going from room to room and the girlfriend is there watching and also like has her phone out. And like that episode of Black Mirror where everybody's like recording on their phones.
Mark, I hate to tell you this, but back then... I don't believe they had recording capabilities on their phone.
Okay. Or it was very crummy.
Yeah, it would have been very rudimentary.
2000? Yeah, I think they may have, but it was
very
not
crappy
good.
Bit rate.
He could have very easily said it wasn't me, because it would just be like some
a
pixelated
lot harder,
blocks.
I mean, right now, it's very easy to prove with, you got your nanny cams, your ring cam, your dog cam.
That
your
dick is pixelated.
Whatever cam. Yeah, hell. Back then, it was like you'd have to get a Polaroid mid-coitus.
That was on 69 Love Songs, Pixelated Dick.
Pixelated Dick. It?
So, I mean, let's piece this together. She caught him red-handed creeping with the girl next door. They were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor. So she walks in and sees them on the bathroom floor.
Yep.
Is it safe to assume that on the bathroom floor is not in the shower?
No, that's not in the shower.
No, because he
doesn't. Okay. That's the bathroom
so,
floor.
They bang. We're gonna put this together like Clue.
Okay. All right.
So they fuck on the bathroom floor, and then so
with
she
the lead pipe
sees
or the wrench.
Them. So then they get up and they get in the shower and they fuck in the shower.
Okay.
Girlfriend is still sitting there watching. Mm-hmm. Then they walk out and go on the counter.
On the counter,
maybe while they're drying off.
Can I just say that is not serve safe?
Does not sound yet. Yeah, does not. I cut an onion on there. No. It's gonna be bad news.
Oh my God! Talk
and
about
then over to the couch on the sofa. Where I'm guessing they both finish.
There's a lot of moving around, man.
And she stays there the whole time. I mean, even going from one place to another is a matter of minutes.
I can't imagine that this was an escapade, as it were, like from location to location.
Why?
I mean, why would you do that?
She caught me on the counter, saw me banging on the sofa. I even had her in the shower. She even caught me on camera.
What is he doing moving all these places, man?
What's the fucking point? In my head, it's like, I think she keeps catching him, and he keeps using this rhetoric on her, gaslighting
it is
each time.
Things we've learned about Seth in his sex life. Does not bound people.
Nope.
I do not bind people.
Do not bound people.
No, I do not.
And only sex in one place.
One place.
Well, I'm not saying that that's case all the time, but I'm saying that who the fuck are you trying to prove anything to moving from five different places in one sex session? I mean, you take her on a tour of the house or you have sex. What
Whoa.
The hell?
Well, maybe she was the real estate agent and they were trying to kill two birds.
No, she's the girl. Well, I mean, yeah, and you know, and just heard the screams getting louder. It wasn't me.
Oh my.
So then we get another chorus.
Shaggy, yeah, here we go.
Honey came in and she caught me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor. I had tried to keep her from what she was about to see. Why would she believe me when I told her it wasn't me?
You gave her a damn key. You gave her a key, man. Why are you trying to keep... You're not trying to keep her from a damn thing. You're not.
That's why I think Jamie might be onto something when he said that there is maybe some...
maybe it was like a, you know...
He wanted to get caught. It's like, you know, they say serial killers want to get caught, so they start leaving clues.
They want that witness.
The radio edit to this, the lyrics are, picture this, we were both caught making love on the bathroom floor.
So much classier.
Yeah.
Still
that's,
the bathroom
that's much
floor.
Different. That's when you're actually in love.
They should say banging on and then something that isn't the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
The bathroom floor is the gross part.
Banging on a brand new mattress. That would be better.
Yeah, I tried to keep her from what she was about to see. How? I would like to hear Rick Rock tell me.
Look away!
How the fuck were you trying?
Look away!
No, don't. Like when people put their hand in front of a camera.
Don't stare directly at the eclipse. You'll go blind.
Why should she believe me when I tell her it wasn't me? She shouldn't. There's no reason.
No.
All right, are we getting close to the end? Because I want to tell you something so bad.
No, we're not there yet.
Oh,
we're getting very close, though.
A very, very important.
So basically, what you're saying is, I have to wait till the whole thing.
I mean, you can say it now, I guess, if you want. No,
see, I was calling back to the line in the song. I have to wait for the. Mm-hmm. Okay, just edit that out in post again.
No.
Okay.
So then we get another verse, and this one's even harder to fucking read than the first one.
It makes no sense at all.
I might need Seth to hold my hand. It gets pretty rough.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. Holding hands now. Mm.
There are lines here where I thank God for genius annotation, because this second verse is lit up like a fucking Christmas tree with lines, because I don't know what any of this shit means, basically. Mech she know say that she really know have right fee vex. What the hell did I just say?
I believe what he's saying is that you're going to make her feel like she really has no reason to complain.
Have you seen the new Dune movie? He's speaking Fremen. He's totally speaking Fremen right here.
Let's try this again.
Yeah.
Mech she no say that she really no have right fee vex. A never you she see ya make the gigolo flex. A smotty else way favor you in a de complex. Seeing is believing, so you better change your specs. You know she go bring a whole heap of things up from the past. All the legal evidence, you better know it fee mask. Quick pawn you answer, know how fee talk. But if she pack a gun, you know you better run fast.
Okay, so there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines in this verse. There are only 3 that I think we can actually derive some sort of meaning from. Or that make any sense.
Do you think it was kind of like Talking Heads, how they used to just put like placeholder lyrics in and then go back and they just never went back?
I think he's actually a little bit creative in that his gibberish is on point. Five of these lines, I don't understand. I literally don't understand what the hell he's trying to say.
Thank God for genius annotation. So, mech she know say that she really know have right fee vex. A never use she say ya make the gigolo flex means you should say that she has no right to be vexed. Oh. She never saw you having sex. Thank you. Thank you, contributor.
And it's English they're speaking there in Jamaica.
Yeah, thank you, contributor. I can't find your name and I don't care.
I don't want to equate Jones. That particular line of the song to all Jamaicans.
You're right. You do make a good point. Yeah, we don't want to blame all Jamaicans for the action of one Jamaican. all right, so let's continue here with this. Smatty, patois for somebody, favor you, looks like you.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So I understood this.
Fuck, you did?
So just say that someone else around there, the complex, I would think like an apartment building, I'm guessing in his own house
unit,
but he's basically saying like,
oh, let's not just forget tell her that villa, some, remember?
just tell her that someone around here looks like you.
The gardener.
Seeing is believing. So you better change your specs.
I understood that one.
Yeah.
That was pretty easy.
Yeah. So the genius annotation, I guess, while we're already in, he uses the idiom seeing is believing, which means that visibly observable facts can't be denied. He turns that on its head by saying, you better change your specs. Instead of encouraging his friend to fess up after being caught red-handed on camera, he suggests his friend try to change the evidence or change his girlfriend's perspective to try to rewrite the facts of what happened.
Well, you're going to date me, put on these blinders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's also easy and very shitty. You know she'd go bring a whole heap of things up from the past. Yeah, like maybe that you've cheated before or that you've been a piece of shit in the past.
Perhaps the marks on his shoulder?
Perhaps.
Or what's this fluid on the bathroom floor?
Mm-hmm.
It could be tons of things.
Bleach.
Yeah, it's bleach.
People say that cum smells like bleach. I don't know if I believe it.
No.
All the legal evidence, you better no fee mask, which I think just means you better cover them up.
Okay. Yes. Quick pawn your answer. Know how fee talk.
Yeah, answer quickly, I think. Just like, as a Jamaican-American artist, Shaggy's verses are delivered in Jamaican patois. The preposition fi in Jamaican patois, used before verbs like talk, means to, as in to talk. Patois is a distinct language with words inspired from English as well as African languages. That doesn't really help much.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
I think he just means answer quickly and know what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm. Know how to talk.
Yeah, don't be like,
come back quick.
Don't elaborate. Just the facts.
Quick pawn you answer yep. quickly. Know how feet talk. Know what you're going to say. Nice. But if she pack a gun, you know you better run fast.
Yeah.
Because people can outrun bullets.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, fucking ass.
And, you know, because at the heart of it, he knows that she knows what fucking happened.
Mm.
And this is all a waste of time, isn't it?
Indeed.
I mean, it's like, you're not going to be able to convince this woman that it was not you.
It's spent air.
Yeah.
You know.
And it keeps talking about, you know, fucking videos she caught you on. She saw you. You said that she was in the house.
She witnessed it visually with her eyes. She saw it on.
She got it on camera.
Video.
Write it down,
evidence.
Take a picture. I don't give a fuck. Then we get another pre-chorus. But she caught me on the counter.
It wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.
It wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Not me.
She even caught me on camera.
It wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
It wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
Not me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
It wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over.
All right, we've gone over these.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we get another chorus.
But the bridge.
Yes, we'll get there. So we get another chorus. There's really no reason to sing the chorus again.
No, it sucks.
Now, here's the bridge. Here's the interesting part.
Oh, okay.
So at this point, Rick Rock has now...
Bursting at the seams.
I am. I'm...
Yeah, yeah.
Rick Rock has now decided this is fucking dumb.
Mm-hmm.
These 2.5 minutes of this song, I've wasted your fucking time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've been getting the shittiest advice...
Yep.
From a guy who was fucking demoted twice in the fucking military.
Yeah.
What the hell am I doing? Gonna tell her that I'm sorry for the pain that I've caused. I've been listening to your reasoning. It makes no sense at all.
Amen to that, brother.
Need to tell her that I'm sorry for the pain that I've caused. You may think that you're a player, but you're completely lost. That's why I sing.
I didn't even know this was in the damn song.
And now here's the fact that I've been wanting to
tell you
about.
Voice of reason shows up.
So, I did a little research. I found so many articles in the years since this song. Anytime Shaggy gets an interview, it seems like he has to mention, probably because he took a lot of shit for the chauvinism and the gaslighting and all that stuff. He says that we got it wrong. He flat out says nobody listened to the whole song, that the song is actually an anthem for not cheating. It's an anti-cheating song. He said that his, in essence, basically his advice is supposed to be ridiculously stupid. And then if everybody listened throughout the whole song, they would hear that bridge by Rick Rock, and where he basically says, wait a minute, what am I listening to? This is all bad. This is all wrong. I shouldn't have never done this. You know, apologizing the whole nine yards. He basically says, you know, everybody's just so caught on the chorus and the comedy of the whole thing that they don't listen to the whole song to get the true message.
The combination of the bad two verses where you get all of the bad advice, the mixed with the incredibly horrible music, sends the wrong message, so it's pointless. The song is defeated in two verses.
Right.
If it's trying to send a message,
well, and I wonder,
it can't get out because of the shittiness of the song, the overall shittiness of the song.
And I wonder if, you know, I mean, I probably don't think they looked that far into it at the beginning.
No, he didn't.
Like I said, because I think it was just like a casual couple of friends.
Not well thought out.
Probably, you know, sampling not only the cuisine of Jamaica, but the herbal refreshments.
Mm.
I don't know. Just making what they thought was going to be a fun ditty that would never become this global juggernaut of the music industry that it was. And I think, you know, he's backpedaling a little bit. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know that they set out to make an anti-cheating anthem as he makes it sound. I think maybe he just realizes hindsight is 20/20. You know, I sound like a big creepo.
Yeah.
And a total jackass.
Maybe it was from the beginning.
Or
but,
maybe it was a joke.
But the
I don't
song
know.
defeats itself.
It really
right
does.
Out in, the, in yeah. the first two verses. Go ahead.
Now, the lyrics on Genius are different than the lyrics that I saw when watching the lyrics and listening to the song on Spotify.
Okay.
Slightly. These are the lyrics, and I don't know if these are correct or the other one's correct. Oh, I didn't listen super, super in depth. Gunner, tell her that I'm sorry for the pain that I've caused. I've been listening to your reasoning. It makes no sense at all. We should tell her that I'm sorry for the pain that I've caused. You may think that you're a player, but you're completely lost. Curious that he says we should tell her.
We, that a lot hinges on that right there.
The well, royal we?
The royal we.
My bomb here, if that is true, if that lyric is true.
Okay.
Is that there is no Shaggy in this song.
Oh.
That Shaggy is another part. Kind of like a Fight Club situation where he's talking
Tyler
to
Durden.
Himself and the Tyler Durden part of himself is telling him we should lie about this.
It's the duality of man.
And at the end, he says, you're an idiot.
Mm. Yeah.
You, this other part of me.
Why
that
did
exists,
I listen to?
I should not listen to you. Oh. I'm going to tell her.
Boom. Mm. So we have some common friends who refer to that as lizard brain.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's
yes.
a certain part
the lizard brain.
Where men in a certain situation just revert many times to lizard brain. And I think that's a very valid point, Mark.
Now, I mean, that is if he says we. Again, I can't stress this enough, but originally that's the lyric that I saw.
It's just so strange. It just hit me. He's talking about the sort of, in a way, the lizard brain as opposed to the one that affects morals and standards in your life that make it so that you function in a society and with other people, which is what we're designed to do. But the duality of man. He was a Marine, and there's a famous Marine movie called Full Metal Jacket where Matthew Modine goes,
"Oh, mama.
I'm wearing a peace symbol, but on my helmet it's written Born to Kill because I'm making a statement about the duality of man."
Wow.
The Jungian thing, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, Carl
and
Jung.
Then you mix in that, you know, his voice is inspired by the drill sergeant. And wow.
The
song takes on
to
a
the
whole
Marin
other
Corps.
Level.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
were you aware that there's an answer track?
That there was what?
An answer track. So during this era, a lot of times, there was, I can't think of any great examples, which I should have looked up, but a lot of times a female artist would answer back to the male artist's original version, sampling their song, but rewriting the verse from the female perspective over whatever.
Never heard
so
of
Lady Saw, who is a dancehall artist from
I do
Jamaica.
Know who she is, yeah.
She, you know, she was.
Buckshot.
She did Underneath It All with No Doubt, which is her big claim to fame.
Correct.
Stateside. That's one of those where I fuck up all the words.
It's okay.
But she did an answer track. Her and this woman called Marsha Morrison did it. And it's called Son of a Bitch. It's Son of a Bitch subtitle, Answer to Shaggy.
Okay.
And it's basically.
To It Wasn't Me?
It's the response to It Wasn't Me. It's the same music, same track, same everything. But it's like from the female perspective of like, you dumbass.
Is it a good song at least?
I mean, it sounds like the same song, but with,
oh, it's the same song.
With a
okay.
female.
Well,
I mean, but not it's not a cover. Like, it's her response. Like,
right.
You know,
right.
Like, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to keep the kids. I'm going to keep the house. I'm going to, you know, all that stuff. But I had no idea that there was an answer track to this song.
Sort of a little bit of an answer to what we were talking about. Jung believed that everything in the psyche hinges around opposites, in that the unconscious contains all the possibilities of being that are not in our conscious awareness. The goal of individuation for Jung was learning how to integrate those opposite dynamics into a non-dichotomous whole. Ooh. Presuming this character is just commenting that he's aware of both sides of his nature in a way that he doesn't feel contradicts.
I think that was the problem. He was this dude in the song was getting into too many dichotomous holes, so to speak. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
And okay. Then poured bleach on it.
Go ahead. I have to mention the very stupid sounding marimba. It sounds like Under the Sea.
Let's talk about
that. Oh my God.
And the fluke is the Duke of Soul.
When you hear this song, you're like, oh my God, is that Sebastian from Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
Suggesting I be, you know, infidelities.
Your Majesty.
And sadly, a couple years ago, they did a live Little Mermaid special on TV, and he did play Sebastian.
Shaggy?
Yes. No shit.
Oh my God.
No shit. Yeah, look it up.
Oh my God.
That's incredible.
John Stamos was the chef.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Latifah was Ursula, and Shaggy was Sebastian.
Latursula?
Yes.
You're kidding me. That's incredible.
It was pretty hilarious.
I gotta watch it.
That is crazy. We can talk about the video for a second. In the video...
We're going to talk about the video for a couple minutes because I got
something video,
else.
In the video, Shaggy is sitting there looking like a... Am I wrong in this? Sort of a Jamaican Hugh Hefner
around
a bunch of women with switchboards and computer consoles. Sort of like some sort of Jamaican
Dollar Tree version of Minority Report, basically, like you know, like exactly screens, right. Vertical screens with like LED sort of presentation.
So, now Rick Rock, go ahead.
I want to give a quick rundown if you've never seen the music video. There is a 3-paragraph thing on Wikipedia that I'm going to try and fly through really quick. The song starts with Rick Rock. The video starts with Rick Rock. Going to Shaggy's mansion to explain to him what happened, goes through the whole story.
His villa.
Tells him. Yeah. Well, I mean, Rick Rock has a villa. I don't know. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
It wasn't me. It was Seth.
Shaggy gives him the you know, tell him that it wasn't me. Then it cuts into a flashback to earlier that day.
Oh.
And his girlfriend is outside the apartment in a convertible. Two women pull up next to her. She sees him on like a cell phone. It's very, very stupid. Like an image is just like superimposed over a phone. There's a lot of that.
Early Nokia phone.
Yeah. So these two women pull up next to her on sport bikes, motorcycles. They go into the building. He sneaks out of a window, takes one of the people's motorcycles. The women come out and the girlfriend and one of the people gets in the convertible. The other one gets on the other motorcycle. They chase him. From his mansion, Shaggy, using futuristic technology, tracks down where Rick Rock is going and prepares an escape for him. He gets on a bridge, and the women come and, like, close him off, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He hits the brakes, hears a noise from behind him, sees that it's the girlfriend, and he's trapped. Then an 18-wheeler drives underneath the overpass that he's on. He gets a text message. Again, very poor graphics.
Hold on. It's not a text message, Mark. It was the cutting-edge technology of an alpha page.
Beeper technology.
Yeah.
Telling him to look behind him. When he does, he notices the truck, jumps off, and goes on top of the truck, and then gets dropped off at Shaggy's mansion. Showing the same scene from the start of the video.
Mm-hmm.
So then, why is he explaining to Shaggy what happened when Shaggy already knew and helped him?
He knowed it. I do have to say, you did leave one little bit out. There seems to be some sort of players' conference that takes place at the beginning of the video.
Yeah, we'll get there. Why is he explaining to Shaggy?
We're going back.
Why is he explaining to Shaggy what happened when Shaggy already knows and he's been communicating with Shaggy?
It kind of reminded me of like a Knight Rider sort of vibe. Like Shaggy is mobile command and he's got tabs on what all his man whores are doing out in the field.
He starts off coming in and saying the lyrics of the song, which was, "Hey, I need help." And Shaggy's like, "Why? What's wrong?" And he's like, "My girlfriend caught me." He's like, "How did she catch you?" And he's like, "I need help." And then it goes back and shows that Shaggy knew exactly what the fuck happened because Shaggy's been helping him. It's like some kind of weird time loop.
Ooh. Well, that leads to your whole Sixth Sensian reference.
Could.
Of him being a Tyler Durden sort of Fight Club, other side of his brain, maybe.
Lizard.
He's the lizard king.
And yes, I mean, Shaggy clearly has in his domicile, he has been helping people be dog shit boyfriends and husbands.
That's right.
For decades, maybe.
Maybe Shaggy doesn't exist in the real world in the video. Maybe he's not. Your Durden.
Yeah.
Maybe. You never see him leave the villa or the house.
Maybe it's a mind mansion.
Yeah, it's a mind.
He does have a couple different outfits on, too.
A mind mansion. He's
got a purple Hugh Hefner thing going for most of it.
Which I wondered if he was giving props to Eddie Murphy for the famous purple leather suit.
No, the purple leather shirt was in Delirious. Raw was the red leather suit.
No.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Put it up.
Check the receipts.
While you look that up.
Delirious was the red leather suit.
I will
suit.
Also say that, you know, jumping on top of a fucking 18-wheeler is nuts. Solely for the purpose of having to explain to your fucking girlfriend. I mean, if all you're going to do is say it wasn't me, you may as well just not risk your life jumping onto a fucking 18-wheeler.
Damn, you were right. It
Sorry.
Was the other way around.
I told
Delirious
you.
Was the red leather, Raw was the purple.
Oh,
it
I'm
is
aware.
Fucking crazy how he jumped on that thing. It wasn't him. It wasn't him.
It was the stuntman.
It was the stuntman.
How great that irony where you're saying it wasn't him,
It
wasn't him. It wasn't but him. Also, it wasn't him, yeah. If you know what I mean.
Well, Shaggy did warn that she might have a gun.
This song is making my, and video combined are making my head spin.
Dear God.
It's really,
yeah.
So, you know, it's
so many circles.
It's kind of got that whole pop culture thing anyway, you know. I don't know if you saw it there a couple years ago. They did a Super Bowl commercial with Shaggy.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
That was Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashton Kutcher catches Mila Kunis eating his Cheetos.
Oh, and obviously she
utilizes... he confronts her, and all of a sudden, poof, up pops Shaggy.
Saw you snacking on the sofa.
It wasn't me.
Mm.
You even had them in the shower. Who eats Cheetos in the fucking shower?
And he pulls she's sitting there eating them in the shower. And the best part of that, now that you said the thing about him being his other, like, the part of his brain that, like, the chauvinist part of his brain, mm-hmm. makes even more sense because Shaggy in the commercial pops out of nowhere like a magical being. Mm. And then, you know, my favorite part is at the very end of the commercial, Shaggy goes, Ashton Kutcher is like, well, okay then, and walks away. Even though he knows, I mean, she literally has the orange dust on her fingers. Ashton walks away, and Shaggy goes, well, that's the first time that's ever worked.
You, the one that granted access to your snacks, don't act surprised that she sneaked behind your back. You got to keep tabs before she emptied that bag. Let's review the situation. Orange fingers, red flag.
Oh my God.
I'm saying the lyrics for the God. Super Bowl commercial for Cheetos are almost better than the original.
That actually sounds better.
It's pretty great. It's a great commercial.
It's easier to understand.
Wow.
So
you're telling me that essentially Shaggy is like a Jamaican Great Gazoo who just seems to vaporize from out of nowhere and delivers bad advice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
For those of you that get the Flintstone reference.
Yeah.
I know you do.
You know, here's the thing too, like going back to Shaggy, because he also, the name Shaggy, Scooby-Doo, hello, mm-hmm. huge fan. I mean, let's think back to every Scooby-Doo episode ever. Like, you know. Oh, if it wasn't for you damn meddling kids, I would have got away with it, too. Yeah. So, like, you know.
But, I mean, they do say it was them. They say, yeah,
I mean, you know,
me.
But they try to put it off as long as they can, really, until they're demasked or unmasked or
like
whatever.
Like the song. Yeah. Almost like the reveal isn't worth it on those damn Scooby-Doo shows.
Because you know who it is by the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the malt shop owner or some
yeah,
shit like that.
Yeah, it's always
that.
Like...
Yeah.
In the video, Rick Rock gets caught cheating and comes running to Shaggy's mansion, where Shaggy schools him on the art of being a true player. To show how he got caught, Rick Rock shows Shaggy a video of his misdeeds on his flip phone, which, there we are,
there
which
we
in
are.
2001 could only be done through the magic of editing.
Mm. Yeah.
Can
Although
I just
the editing,
say,
the woman in that is very attractive. Very
and this
attractive.
Is before, really, DNA evidence came into play as heavily as it does now. I think this whole problem could have been solved with a phrase from another song. Let me smell your dick.
Ah, yes.
Who was that?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's going to... I know where she's from.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If a little sniff here, a little sniff there, she could have just proven without
she's
a doubt.
Risque. She's from Risque, from Bartow, Florida.
Bartow, right outside of Orlando.
Yep.
A little farming Beautiful. Community.
Anybody have anything else to add to this fucking piece of garbage?
No.
Although, like I'm not going to lie, if it comes on the damn radio, I'm going to sing along with the chorus.
Turning it off.
I mean, I will say, I guess at the end of the day, you're right that the people forget that last part. But like Seth said, you know, maybe it knocks down the creep factor, but it raises the, then why did you write this song? Just write a song about not cheating on somebody instead of writing a song about that. That's going to teach most people the Shaggy defense and not pay attention to the part that you wanted it to. So, I mean, the lyrics are dumb and did you, you may not have known this. It's kind of like a dual purpose episode.
Yeah, it is.
It's funny, too, because it's like, be careful what you wish for, because they kept saying, oh, well, this, you know, this song's not going to be listened to anyway. Nobody's going to hear this. This is just filler.
That's a theme that we hear all and boom, the time that's the on only... this show from songs like Africa, one that we just did recently, Horse With No Name. They think that they're not going to be anything, and no, then they wind up being
that's right.
timeless hits. I don't like to think of this song as being a timeless hit. I hope one day it fades away and we never hear from it again. It will.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's a perfectly designed earworm is what I think it is.
You think so?
I do.
I don't like it.
I think it's one of those where if they break it down scientifically or mathematically, the chorus happens in just the right way or just the right amount of times or whatever, that it's or it's easy enough for the brain, even simple lizard brains like some people we know, you know.
Sitting here in a red shirt.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I'm just
going to
say right now, I probably fucked up a bunch of the lines. I'm not going to go back and edit. I mean, you're just going to get what
it
you
was
get.
Fine.
You
Mark is not going to feedback and edit.
No.
No.
And yeah, and I mean, we've got talking over me doing the lyrics is going to be an editing nightmare. Usually it's much easier, but this episode has been.
We haven't had this much
zoo.
Talking over the lyrics since Doug was in here.
Yeah,
yeah. But I would like right now to put the weight of the factor on our guest. You first, Jamie.
So what, creep factor creep from 0 to 10,
please.
6.
Okay, 6.
Wow,
is that it?
You know. I think so, because it's kind of like, I hate to see it, it's harmless gaslighting.
Is it?
I don't know. It's a happier, go luckier gaslighting.
Well, sure.
Than it could be.
Your grandfather's good, yeah. gaslighting.
You know what I mean? It's not the dark, gothic gaslighting of yesteryear. It's a more pop-friendly, high-gloss gaslighting.
It's not My Chemical gaslighting.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
So, I mean, it could be worse, I guess. I'm, you know. Back to the pizza thing. It's definitely not what I'm going to ask have be delivered to my house, but if it's the only thing to eat, I'll take a bite.
Okay.
Give it a
flat six.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seth?
I'm going to say that more than anything, there should be a shithead factor to this.
Yes.
But we don't do that. We do creep factor. And the shithead factor in this case is going to bleed over into shithead factor. I mean, the shithead factor is going to bleed over into creep factor. In that every bit of the message of the first 2 minutes of this song is just horrible, horrible things to say. This is music for young people. Therefore, the audience that's picking up on it is just going to pick up a bunch of just things that are going to make the world a more miserable place overall. Normally, I would say like what you're saying, and that, you know, it's just a song, and that it's, you know, it's got a good beat, even though I don't particularly like the music in this song, but it's just a song, and that it's not really hurting anybody, but it has the potential to, Jamie, which is why I think it should be just a little bit higher. I'm gonna give it a 7.3.
Yeah, that's higher than I thought you were gonna go.
No, I don't like it, and I think it's shit.
Wow.
You know, I feel a little bit reserved, knowing that at the end, it's like, this is dumb. But I think the fact that what most people got from this was the, it wasn't me. It's almost like they tucked away that last verse or that bridge on purpose. Like they knew that it wasn't me was going to be the big takeaway here. Yeah. So it's like, we'll make it. So the meaning is good.
You think it was a little
we'll
CYA?
Hide that.
Like cover your ass at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go pretty much right between you guys. I'm going to go with a 6.4.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like I have to take some of the edge off. I mean, it's creepy. It's shitty, not creepy.
Shitty, yeah. It is definitely shitty.
Yeah. Next up, you want to do more creepy stuff?
We can go any direction. I'm down for anything at this point.
I just added this song the other day.
What is it?
Let's take it back to the 50s.
Oh, okay.
60s.
Awesome.
Groovy.
We're going to do That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly.
Oh, my.
Whoa, that's fucking ironic, man.
Why?
I just listened to a bunch of podcasts on Buddy Holly. They were great.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, specifically, I think I've told you about it, The History of Rock and Roll in 500 by Andrew Hickey. I listened to, I think it was that, That'll Be the Day. Yes, that was the song that I covered. It was really good. I can't wait to hear what we got to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think maybe...
Fascinating story on that guy, man.
Yeah, yeah. He is a fascinating guy, taken too soon, very young.
Very young.
Very young. Jamie?
Yes, Mark?
We can't thank you enough for making the time.
No, thank you. I thank you.
Okay, so the distance between your last visit and this one was probably 100 episodes.
Oh, Lord.
It's got to be less than that for the next one, because I'm not one to sit here and blow sunshine up somebody's ass, especially Ooh. Right in front of them, but I like having you here, and Aww. I hope that you come back soon, in spite of all the stepping on Mark's lines and talking over people.
I'm sorry.
No, I still think it's good. As a matter of fact, I want you to come back and be you.
I just get so excited.
Absolutely, and you should be.
Yeah, we're three guys with a lot of stuff to say. We're three very important people. So please, thank you, Jamie, for making the time and for coming here.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Please rate the podcast some number of stars that you find fit. If that's a 5, I would not complain. And, you know, if you can even write a little something, I would appreciate that as well. And tell a couple friends about what you've heard here today.
We have this thing called the Lyrics to Go Facebook and Instagram pages. Please don't hesitate to go on there and tell us something. Give us some ideas for some songs. If you heard some effed up or unusual, or hey, you didn't know about them lyrics, please suggest them, or go to lyrics2gopod@gmail.com and drop us a line there. We really, really love emails. They're a lot of fun. That's where some of our best suggestions have come from. Love to see those stack up. Thank you, listener, and thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Seth. Please listen to That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly and his Crickets. And we will be back next Monday with yet another episode of Lyrics to Go.
Somewhere between my mouth and your ears. Some words got lost, the idea wandered off.
Thanks a lot for listening. Our theme song was done by Exploding Pages. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for songs or lyrics, you can send them to lyrics2gopod@gmail.com. We'll be back here next week.